want to talk now for just a moment here about COVID-19. We have been committed for the past year or so with making sure that we're sharing the information that we need about COVID-19. I know you're probably getting tired of this conversation, except we're not going to stop until we're on the other side of COVID-19. That's when we'll stop. We get to the other side, we will stop. I'm joined now by Dr. Sharon Henry. And Dr. Henry is here to take us through what is currently happening with COVID-19, to help us to understand it and to help us get the information that we need. Dr. Henry, how are you?
I am very well, Dr. K. Nice to be here with you, virtually or on the line, I guess. In a way.
I am happy to have you. As we are kind of working our way through COVID-19, I want to begin by just jumping right into the conversation, starting with what's going on with Johnson & Johnson. I know that people are concerned. I know that they're worried. Yeah. Can you just kind of help us to frame what's going on before we even get into Moderna and Pfizer to deal with Johnson & Johnson?
Yeah, I think, you know, the things that are going on is, you know, this is really uncharted territory that we are in with the FDA approval process. The fact that everything has been expedited, but, you know, don't mistake anything. They are moving swiftly but carefully, and I think that's why this sort of business with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine occurred. There were some patients identified that had a thrombosis event, meaning they had a clot, they developed clots. It was a very small number of patients, but out of an abundance of caution, the FDA, you know, put a halt on distribution of that vaccine. My opinion is that this is going to blow over, and that this vaccine will be back in play after some due diligence is done. But again, I think what is happening in an attempt to get us over the hump, you know, we're a year into this, you know, half lockdown, half open, half this. You know, not back as business as usual, but with so many millions of people who've lost their lives, this is not something to be toyed with, and clearly isn't something that's just going to go blow over and go away. So I think for people in the medical community who sort of understand the process that new drugs go through to get approval, this is not surprising, but I understand how it can be alarming to the lay public as they hear this all play out in the press. Because, you know, this stuff goes on behind the scenes every day with drugs. It's just being played out really in the press now, which is a lot different than what happens on a day-to-day for other drugs.
Now, Dr. Henry, as a professor of surgery at the University of Maryland School of Medicine, I'm going to tell you, because I have to lay it down and be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little smug on Twitter last night going, hey, folks, hey, Pfizer folks,
yep,
you might have to get a third dose.
Yep.
How y'all doing? And someone pushed back, hey, Moderna sister, you too. So you?
Right. And again, I think what people are recognizing, and this is, you know, again, we don't know this data because how long has this vaccine been available? Even if you go back to the people who took it on the experimental basis of which the drug got approved, the track record is still not for a year, right? So how would we know how long the vaccine is going to last until we test it? So, and I have to admit, I'm in a follow-up study.
Right, because you're one of the first five people at the University of Maryland Medical System to receive the COVID vaccination.
Correct. I raised my hand when I was offered the vaccine And I raised my hand again when I was asked, can we study your response to the vaccine? And that's a study I'm going to be in for the next several years, looking at my response to the vaccine. And that's important for us to know because, you know, we don't want to become complacent and say, right. okay, I got my two. It's 2 weeks later. I'm going to pull my mask off. I'm going to get on an airplane and run to wherever I want to go. And, you know, it's done and dusted. That isn't the case because we have to do our due diligence and follow through. But if we didn't do that, if we just, you know, let things run, then we would still be, very restricted. And we don't know how this virus would run. And I think the vaccine is important in helping us get to a point where, you know, we're going to take these masks off one day. It isn't right. today, but we're going to take these masks off one day.
Now, let me ask you, because I know that last year when everything shut down, things changed so drastically. All these measures went into place to go into hospitals, to go into buildings. Well, so many things, it feels like it's rolling back. What has changed in your practice as a result of COVID-19?
So, you know, our hospital, just like, we have to go along with the state mandates and our city mandates about gatherings, et cetera, et cetera. So we are, as in the hospital, not back up to 100% as far as elective surgery, but we are certainly moving towards that, and it's improving every day. We have allowed some visitation in the hospital, though we're limiting the number of visitors per patient that are in the hospital. And I have to say, you know, that lack of sort of personal touch or having families separated at the height of an illness, I don't think I, as a clinician, appreciated what an impact that would have on our practice and how our patients do and how their families cope with illness as it played out. And I'm not just talking about patients with COVID. I'm talking about patients with every other problem that brings them into the hospital.
Now, I know that with that, with COVID and the fact that everything was shut down, you know, did we fall behind? I'm thinking in terms of people getting tested, going and getting your mammograms, going to get your colonoscopies, going to get, you know, other vaccinations. Did we fall behind, and how are we doing in terms of catching back up?
Oh, I want to tell you, I have to say, you know, when you ask the question about how my practice has been affected, you know, I look at what I do. I do trauma as well as I do soft tissue infection. That's one of the things I concentrate on in my practice. And I have to say the numbers and the severity of the illness at the time the patient is presenting to us or gets to the hospital for treatment, we're seeing it be much more severe. So I think patients are staying home to an extent to their detriment because, you know, they're saying, I'm gonna handle this.
Wow.
You know, I have an infection. Let me put a poultice on it. Let me take some antibiotics I had left over. Let me just see how it's going to happen. And, you know, when they do come in, they're quite ill. The infections are extensive.
Mm.
The other thing I'm seeing is such an increase in the consequences of substance abuse. You know, we've always seen that in our patient populations. You know, we're a downtown hospital, so we're in the middle of it. So we do see that every day, and we expect to see it. But I think the sort of aggressiveness of that problem has been multiplied, and I'm sure it's multifactorial. Some of it
right.
has to do with the stress of, you know, uncertainty, the stress of, you know, what's probably happened in people's personal lives, and, you know, perhaps even the impact of you know, just boredom of not having things to do and ways to divert yourselves, oneself. So that's something we are seeing a lot of, both in my practice with soft tissue infection as well as in the trauma population that we're seeing.
Okay, so my last question, and Ronald, Dwayne, Mama Z, and Charles, thank you so much for holding on for our COVID update. I know that there's some vaccination hesitation.
Of course.
Or just people saying, you know what, I'm just flat out. I'm not hesitant. I know I'm not taking it. Like the hesitation people, I feel like we maybe can pull them over. There are folks who are saying no for whatever conspiracy reason or whatever they believe in.
Right.
They are strongly against it. Would you mind, Dr. Henry, as a professor of surgery, as a director of the Division of Wound Healing and Metabolism Services, as someone who received the COVID-19 vaccination back in December, would you just speak to those people about why they should get the vaccine?
You know, we are in this world, we are here together, and I think nothing has shown us that more than this pandemic is that how much we are interconnected. We can't move forward without the majority of us becoming immune in some way to this virus, right? And your options are go get it or take a vaccine or take your chances. Those are really the options you have. And, you know, I don't recommend going to get the disease itself because it's killing people. And, you know, maybe you won't be the one to get sick, but maybe you'll give it to someone and make them sick. So it's partly a sort of a responsibility we have to each other to really do something. And that whole, we live in this community that we have to, you know, sort of all take responsibility and do our part. I think every, you know, certainly lawmakers and everybody has not pushed for a mandatory vaccine, which I, you know, I'm glad for. What I hope is that the majority of people would step up and take the vaccine so that wouldn't become a necessity.
Mm. I appreciate you, Dr. Sharon Henry, for just joining us for our COVID update. We want to continue to follow up with you because we want to make sure that people understand that we are not out of this period yet. We're not done yet. Don't, as you say, snatch off your mask and jump on your plane and go to wherever your heart's desire. Understand that we're still going through the storm here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I thank you for keeping this in the front of everybody's mind. I agree. We are getting fatigued with hearing about it. But it's still out there, and it's an enemy that we all need to be armed to fight.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.